Please turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that death has lost and love has overcome through you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, in light of this, in light of your return, Lord, help us to do our very best for you in all things. For your glory. Amen. We're continuing to preach through 1 and 2 Thessalonians on Sunday morning. And we're in chapter 5, verse 12. As we look in this great book and we're looking at practical Christian living this morning. And looking at living for Christ, living a life of worship, being godly in this world. In light of Christ's return, we should know the season in which we're living in. And I believe in my very being we're in the season of Christ's return. All you got to do is just look at the world events and look at the world today, and we're in the season. So know the season that we're in. We don't know the day or hour, but he could come back today. Amen? So you and I should be ready for the day of the Lord. We should be ready for Christ's return at any time. And we're in the season. So know the season of his return. One of the reasons for a low level of discernment in the church, one of the reasons that in the church there's not discernment of the season that we're in, it is because we do not take a stand anymore on the things of righteousness. Not in our personal lives, not in our society. And if we were standing for Christ in our personal lives and in our public life, we would know by discernment the season in which you and I live. So, knowing the season, we should live godly. And it says in verse 12, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." So in light of the Lord's return, recognize the servants in the church. Recognize those who serve others. Recognize those who minister. Recognize your ministers, your deacons, your teachers in the church. And esteem them for love's sake. Understand the value of the servants in the church. Understand that they're valuable to the church. Again, in the latter days, some will hate teachers that does not teach the gospel or preach the gospel, and they just get teachers that tells them what they want to hear. But if you have a Bible-based teacher or a preacher or a pastor, esteem them highly. By the way, look around. No one's going into the ministry anymore. Look around. I wonder why. It says, esteem them highly. And it says, be at peace among yourselves. One way you can esteem your ministers, your servants highly, is be at peace among yourselves. Don't nitpick. Don't look at everything that's wrong. By the way, every church, because it's made up of people, has things. And it's how you love through those things and work through those things is what makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen? So we're brothers and sisters. We're all in this together. Be at peace with one another among yourselves. And in verse 14, it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly." Again, this is another segment. He says, "Now we exhort you," or "we encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, warn those who are unruly. Warn those who is out of step. Warn those, encourage those to return, to live godly, to live righteously with God's help, to be filled with the Spirit. Give warning because Jesus is coming back. Know the season. So those who are out of step, it's like in the military when you're marching, you're in step with one another. And if you've ever marched, I have. I was in the Air Force and we marched during basic training. The only time I marched, unless it was a parade. But if you get it in there, I was a short one. You know where the short ones get? They get in the back, kind of back left corner there. All the tall guys and stuff are up front, and you're in a flight of 50 men and women, and you're marching, and I had the privilege of seeing them all. And when someone gets out of step, now imagine 50 men and women, they're going like this. And the guy that's out of step, his head is going the opposite way. It's funny to see. It really is. You kind of giggle to yourself because you can't laugh out loud. But being out of step or being unruly, when the church is moving in one direction, don't be out of step. If the church filled with the Holy Spirit and is led by God, folks, be in step with the church. Know the season in which we're living in. Know that we are to be witnesses and godly and live righteous and be at peace with one another. Amen? Don't be out of step. Exhort, encourage, not to be unruly, but comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Be long-suffering. Be patient with all the scenarios. Be long-suffering to one another because Christ, God in Christ, has been long-suffering to me and to you. So be patient. Help the faint-hearted, the weak-minded. Be patient. And it says, we're talking about treat others respectfully and lovingly. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So, God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. God knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows what we're thinking, our attitude, our motives behind everything we do. And God sees it all. God told Jeremiah, I see their hearts. I see what's going on. So, he says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but pursue what is good, look for the good, and love and respect one another. And as we read on, it says in verse 16, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Not for the circumstances. I tell you what, if something happened to me and I'm in a lot of pain, I probably won't be saying hallelujah all the time. Okay? But it's an attitude of life, rejoicing in the heart. A life of worship, rejoicing of what Christ has done for you and I. Rejoice for His presence. It's an act of worship. It's an attitude of life. Now, as we read on, it says in verse 17 and 18, it speaks about praying. Again, it says, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. That is, again, an attitude of prayer. Pray as you go. Have your quiet time. Jesus says, get in your secret place. Have a relationship with me. Talk with me one-on-one. And praying without ceasing is when things in life occur and you're going through life and every day pray. Be an attitude of prayer, a life of praying and recognizing God and giving Him glory and pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. You can't go through life with your eyes closed and on your knees. Not all the time, but it's an attitude, a prayer on your heart, a prayer upon your lips unto the Lord. So pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in light of Christ's return, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So giving thanks, it's a praying life, an attitude of prayer and giving thanks. And many times we can show our children this attitude just simply praying before each meal as a family. It's giving thanks. And it says this is the will of God. It's the will of God that humanity places their faith in Jesus Christ. That is God's will, that all should repent and come to Jesus Christ. And after that, did you know in the New Testament, it shares with us many avenues and principles of God's Word that says the will of God is this for you and for me. And this is one of the God's wills for you and I, is to be thankful in all things unto God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Man's faith response, man's response to the gospel is to place our faith. And then God has a will for us. Most of it is spelled out in the Scriptures. Now it says in verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. And when you speak of the Holy Spirit of God in the New Testament and the Old Testament, the Spirit of God, one of the metaphors and symbols of the Spirit of God is fire. Like clothing tongues of fire, that represents the Holy Spirit of God. So when it says, do not quench the Spirit, you think of a fire, think of a candle lit, and you quenching that fire. And it is a danger for the child of God to quench the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a child of the devil, if you're of the other family, and your father is the devil, you're a child of wrath, guess what? It's a common place for you to quench the Spirit of God. But for a child of God, one who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we dare not quench that fire, quench the Spirit of God in other people's life or in the life of the church. It's not gloom and despair and agony on me. God is on His throne. God is saving people. And the church is alive and well. The Bible says it may be just a remnant of us, but I tell you what, the remnant has the Spirit. And we dare not quench the Spirit. One of the ways you can quench the Spirit is not be at peace with one another. Being out of step with the family of God. Being out of step with the church. Be thankful. See what God is doing. Be in step. Quench not the Spirit. Pray without ceasing. And it says, do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Do not quench the Spirit. Don't put that fire out. And stay with the principles of Scripture. Stay with Scripture. This prophecy is in the New Testament. It does not mean a new revelation. The final revelation between God and man is Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. You must place your faith in Him. Fall on His grace. Repent of your sins. Turn to Christ for salvation by His grace alone. And our response is by faith, by grace. And this new prophecies, it means the interpretation of Scripture. And you better test it. Whether it's me in this pulpit or anybody else or your Sunday school teacher, anything you listen to on the TV or radio, You test it by Scripture, and if it is contrary to God's Word, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it's contrary to God's Word, stay away from it. Stay away. Test all things. See, watch out for the interpretation of the Scriptures. Don't believe any new revelation. There's only one. It's Jesus. It's Jesus and Him crucified. I boast not in any other thing than the cross of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stay with the Scriptures. Verse 21, hold fast what is good. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. You could preach a whole message just on that sentence. Abstain from it. Turn away from it. And every form of evil. I don't care if it's just a little bit of good mixed in. You know the devil's good at doing that. If it's just a little bit of good mixed in, the rest of it is evil and contrary to Scripture, stay away from it. Stay away from it. Abstain from it. From every form of evil. Verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace Himself. What a name for God. The God of peace. And as you look at these final instructions and how we ought to live in this world, and in the latter days, folks, it's bad. We have these warnings in Scripture, but yet our God is the God of peace. Listen to this story that I found. It's called The Pit. A man fell into a pit and could not get out. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down there. An objective person came along and said, it's logical that someone would fall down there. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into a pit. A mathematician calculated how he fell into the pit. A news reporter wanted the exclusive story on his experience. An IRS man asked if he was paying taxes on the pit. A self-pitying person said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. A charismatic said, just confess that you're not in a pit. An optimist said, things could be worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. You see, you may be in a pit this morning, in your mind, in your soul, but He is a God of peace. He is a God of peace. He can lift you out of the pit. The God of peace, Himself. Folks, He's a personal God. Everyone say personal. Amen. Our God is a personal God. Amen. Hallelujah. The God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the false teachings of Gnosticism that John wrote about in the epistle of 1 John was that there is a difference between our flesh and the spirit. You can live all you want, like you want to in the flesh, and live like hell in the flesh because it's separate from your spiritual person. But I tell you what, God sanctifies your whole person, body, soul, and spirit. He saves us, and we're in a process of being sanctified, and we will be glorified in His presence someday. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. And it says, He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. This process We're saved, we're sanctified, we're justified, but He's also sanctifying me. It's a process of sanctification. And He will do it. My response is by faith, trust and obey. By faith. Verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. What greater thing for someone to do for somebody else. That's to pray for. The request for prayer. I want you to pray for me. We need to pray for one another. Folks, when I need help, I want the church to pray for me. I'm not so prideful, I don't want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me in all things. We need to pray for one another. The Apostle Paul himself requested prayer by the church. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, Johnny Belton, if you kiss me, I may hit you. Okay. Don't you come up here kissing me. This is one of those cultural things. This is showing love for one another. Compassion and saying we're in this together. We do it now by a hug and a handshake. That's good enough for me. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Read it in your home. Read it at church. By the way, this is not a cultural thing, but it says in Hebrews 10:25, as you see the day approaching, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. And it says to be read to all the brethren. That's in public worship. That's in public study. That is what we're doing right now, is reading this epistle. He charges the church to read it, to study it. In verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. All we need is grace, don't we? We need to grow in the Lord. We need His grace every day. We need saving grace. That's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. And we need that energy, the effectual working grace of God that works in us and through us and gives us and sanctifies us to live for Him. Realize the day we're living in, folks. Know the season and live accordingly. Live accordingly. Jesus is coming back. Live for Him. Live for Him. Don't quench the Spirit. Live for Him. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank You for Your precious word. Lord, I thank You for my church family. And Lord, I ask encouragement upon them. May we be at peace. Be in step. May You have all glory. But Lord, help us to know and to warn those who are unruly. God, may we stand for You in light of Your return. May we be men and women for You and for Your glory. And Lord God, I pray for those who do not know You personally. May Your Holy Spirit touch the heart. May You woo them unto Yourself, and may they respond by faith and not be ashamed of You, and to profess You publicly and to follow You in believers' baptism. This is no new doctrine, but it's Scripture. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.